service tonight. We're going to be having something real special. Now, listen, this is Easter Sunday, and you can visit with your relatives all evening and still come back and get a blessing tonight. And if you knew the Lord has come back tonight, that's what you'd do. So be sure and be here. We're still going to be recognizing some of our students, Mr. Waddle, from our school, and have some achievements tonight that you will be interested in hearing what's going on at New Manna Christian School. And that'll be tonight. And then, of course, I'll be preaching. So I got a special message on my heart for tonight, so don't forget to pray about that. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse number 1. This is the great chapter here in the Bible on the resurrection. Amen. We'll give you just a minute to everybody get still. All right, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And I'm going to stop there, but this whole chapter deals with the subject of his resurrection and our resurrection. What does the resurrection prove? Well, I want to say, first of all, this morning, that his resurrection proves beyond any shadow of a doubt that we have the right religion. He's the only religious leader who ever got up by his own power, or ever got up, period, who was the founder of a religion. Now, to hear it on TV today and hear it in movies, you get the impression that all religions are alike, and that heaven is like the top of this big hill right here, and heaven's on top of a hill, and there's a road coming up this way, and road coming up this way, and road coming up this way, and road coming up this way. There's about 8 or 10 roads, and they're all going to the same place. You hear that a lot out in the world. They say we should not fight against one another. We should not be critical one of another. Whether if you're a Muslim, or if you're a Buddhist, or if you're a Christian, or you're Jewish, or whatever you are, all religions are just different roads, and we're all going to wind up at the same place. Now, the only problem with that is it's a lie. I guess all religions do go to the same place, hell. They don't all go to heaven. There's only one road to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way. You say, well, how do you know that he's right and Buddha's wrong? He rose from the dead. That proves our religion is right. Did you know today that if you were a Buddhist, and there are a lot of Buddhists in the world, and I don't hate people believing Buddha. I mean, it's their business. Anybody can believe what they want to. But that don't make them right. If you had Buddha's bones right here laying in a box here this morning, you could be a good Buddhist. If you had his bones right here. If you had Muhammad's bones over here in the box, you could be a good Muslim. But if you had the bones of Jesus Christ here, you couldn't be a Christian. Because if you had his bones, that means he didn't rise from the dead. And if he didn't rise from the dead, there are no Christians. We're all just people deceiving ourselves. Now, God showed this back in the Old Testament. And if people would read their Bible, they'd see it way back there in the book of Numbers. They was all arguing about which tribe God had chosen, like different denominations and different religions. And they're saying, theirs is right. No, ours is right. No, ours is right. No, ours is right. No, you're wrong, we're right. No, you're wrong, we're right. Everybody claiming to be right. And the Lord said, I'll tell you what you do. Every tribe gets you a rod. Every one of you. So they got these like 12 rods. And he said, lay them up before the Lord like sticks off of trees. Broke off a branch off a tree. And they laid them there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 of them. And the Lord said this. He said, the one that I put life into is the one I've chose. And we all know that he chose the Levites, the tribe of Levi, and the house of Aaron. And the next day, they laid them things up there for a few days, and they went and looked, and there's a dead stick, and there's a dead stick, and there's a dead stick, and there was Simon and all them different tribes, Jude and all them, and they picked up Aaron's rod, and it budded forth and was putting out leaves. And God said, there's the way you know that I've chosen this tribe above all the other tribes. I put life in that rod. It budded forth. Now, if you laid out all the religions in the world, and I mean there's a lot of them. If you put all the religions in the world, and somebody said, well, how do we know which one's right? They all claim to be right. God said, the one that I put life into. So Jesus Christ got up out of the tomb, and he come up, he was dead, and he said, behold, I am alive forevermore. And brother, God chose that one. Now listen, there's a lot of religions in the world, ain't that right? I read the other day that Pat Boone has now gone heavy metal. Have you heard that? Has made a heavy metal tape. 62 years old. Pat Boone is a heavy metal rocker. he should have stayed to sung Peace in the Valley, man, and stayed in church and stayed on his knees. Pat Boone belongs to a church or embraces a church faith that believes in baptismal regeneration. That means you're saved when you're baptized. And that is a false doctrine. What made Pat Boone go off the deep end is the same thing that made Amy Grant go off the deep end. People don't get their roots settled in truth and therefore go follow anything and any old false religion. We saw this week in the news a very strange and unusual thing. And you can be sure, I'll be telling you about that soon, but just suffice it to say right now, 39 people committed suicide this week, and they say which might be the worst mass suicide in United States history. What made them do it? False religion. False religion. They believe, well, there, let me tell you a little bit about what this outfit believes, this T and Doe and all them people, all the 39. You say, oh, they were just a bunch of crazy cult members. Well, that's true, they were. In a $1.5 million mansion. And when that comet came through, you can see, I saw it real bright two or three nights this week as I was driving back. Last night, you could see it's right over here. If you were out here in the parking lot, it's right over here. How many of y'all have seen the comet? Raise your hand. Oh, okay. Okay, I didn't see it. I didn't see it at all until the other night. But I went out and looked at that thing, and looks like it ain't even moving, don't it? They say it is, and it's going down this way, starts out going down straight, and then goes this way like this, and they believe that thing meant something. Now, this group that committed suicide this week were heavy dependents on computers, and especially on the internet. Now, I've got some stuff right here that was brought word for word off of the internet. And this was given to me by one of our church members several weeks ago before the comet ever even began to come by. And they were telling on the internet that the Hale Bop, named after a guy named Hale and got Bop somebody, and they named it the Hale Bop. They call it HB for short. And this little article here come right off the internet, and this was months before the comet got here. Now, I want to show you what false religion can do to people. This thing here said it came from Sagittarius. More than a few people say it is significant. And it said it only comes every 3,600 years. And every time a comet passes by our world, you know, strange thing. There's always a bunch of sightings of UFOs right after a comet comes through. Which, again, we're right on target for the youth rally. Right on target. That's the Lord getting us ready for the youth rally is what that is. And did you know what? I want to show you something. Here's what it said on the internet a few months ago. If you'll listen to God, you'll know the truth. If you listen to what's on the internet, you're liable to be like him 39. And he said this, Stitchin says the ancient ones said the 12th planet came from the region of the sky we call Sagittarius. He said this years before the discovery of HB, Hale Bopp. He used his computer to run the orbit of Hale Bopp backwards to 1992. And it shows a section of space that it was in, which is supposed to be significant in prophecy and all that kind of stuff. That is what Mr. Hale and Mr. Bopp were looking for when they happened to discover Hale Bopp in July of 1995. We've seen a lot of comet tracks on this program, but none create such a unique pattern entered in just one area of the sky, Sagittarius. They said it'll be interesting to keep watching, this is months ago, to see if we can see the big one. Now, they said this, remember too that Sagittarius represents an archer on horseback. Some Christian prophecy followers believe Hale Bopp to be the Apostle John's vision that became the book of Revelation. Now you can see how these people begin to get, because it's like a horse, a rider on a horse. And since they didn't believe all the Bible, they knew just enough Bible to mess them up. That's what false religion does to people. You don't kill yourself and commit suicide in order to go to a higher planet and shed this container in order to receive a blessing from God. That's not the way it works. The way you go to heaven is receiving a resurrected Lord that the Bible tells you about, and the Hale Bopp followers were wrong. Can you imagine how them people felt living in a $1.5 million mansion? I mean, they said, we want to go to a better place. They ain't hardly much better place than where they was. They ain't no better place on this earth than where they was. Can you imagine going from that and waking up in hell? And going in hell and saying, no! God, no! God, no! And the devil stands back and laughs at them for tricking them. The mistake that they made. Look here. They said this. Many Americans believe that the great comet heralds the end of the age and beginning of the time when the star beings will return to set things right on this world. Well, they're right about that. Star beings are going to come to the world. And the Bible talks about them in the book of Revelation. And it said they're going to come out and the Antichrist is going to set up his kingdom and the world's going to believe him. Does the Mayan calendar really end? Listen. However, because of mistakes made in the calendar, is actually much later than we think. Astronomer Richard Hoagland says, if we correct our calendar, can coincide with the Mayan calendar, the end of this age will be in 1997. This on the internet. More specifically, the spring of 1997, when Hale Bopp is scheduled to arrive here. Now see, those people got around and they believed that. And they said, oh no, the end of the world's coming. The end of the world. The giant UFO behind Hale Bopp is going to come. We want to hurry and get in the gate of heaven before it gets too crowded. Did you hear that? Before it gets so crowded you can't get in. So we're going to go ahead and drink a little vodka and mix a little poison in with it. And we're going to heaven. No, that ain't the way you go. That ain't the way you go. The Lord's resurrection proves that we have the right religion. Listen to this. Do you know before the discovery of Hale Bopp, two writers wrote a best-selling novel called Lucifer's Hammer? And Lucifer's Hammer was about these astronomers discovering a comet at the same time. And one of them was Hammer and the other one was Gavin Brown. And they named it in the novel HB, the Devil's Hammer, Hale Bopp. And all that happened before that comet was even discovered. Now the devil will take a bunch of people like those that committed suicide and say to the world, see there, religion drives you crazy. See there, what the Bible did to them. God didn't make them people do that. The devil made them people do that. And the Bible didn't make them do that. The devil puts just enough truth out so that the world will think that's what Christianity is. No sir, no sir. Not by a long shot. I wonder why there's 39 of them. I mean, there's probably 40, 20 men, 20 women. And that Lyston said, see you around. That's what I'd have done. They said, we're all going to kill ourselves. I'd have said, okay, y'all go first. I'm not jealous. I'll let you in heaven before I get there. As soon as all of them died, I'd have took off down the road, wouldn't you? You don't have to worry about that happening here in this church. We'll never kill ourselves, will we? I don't care how bad it gets. We're too big a chicken. I'll tell you what, buddy. Listen. We believe we're going to heaven because of the resurrected Lord. And we believe that He's able to keep us through whatever we got to go through until that time. They wasn't having it so bad, was they? Lord have mercy, eating lobster and living in $1.5 million mansion with a 360-degree panoramic view around it. Man, what they talking about? I tell you what, this morning, I'm glad to report through all the news. It's amazing that the biggest news in America and the world right now is about a UFO coming behind a comet. Ain't that something? And mixed in Jesus all together. All that is the stage being set for the Antichrist to step out on the scene. Mark it down. Mark it down. I'm glad we can say, like Paul said, but now is Christ risen from the dead. He said during Napoleon's war against England, they had a battle with Wellington at Waterloo. And it was a heavy and bloody battle. And the people couldn't even know who was winning. And they had to notify the people on the British Isles and tell them who won the war. And the ships rang out the message like in a code to those people to tell them who won the war. And they were over there on the British Isles. And they said, the words came out. And it said, Wellington defeated. And everybody's heart sank. And everybody went into despair. And they said, oh no, oh no, it's over. We've lost the battle. Wellington has been defeated. And there was a heavy fog set in. But a little bit later, the fog began to lift out. And they realized there was another word coming behind that. And the word come in, it said, Wellington defeated Napoleon. And that turned the whole thing around. And now instead it was a loss, it was a great victory. And they thought while we was crying there in the fog, now we realize that we've won. We're the winners. Napoleon has been defeated. And I want to tell you what, there was a little band of believers nearly 2,000 years ago that saw him get nailed to a cross. And the devil said, Jesus defeated. Jesus defeated. And their heart sank. And they went, oh no, what are we going to do? And for 3 days a heavy fog settled. But after 3 days the fog cleared out. And boy, everything cleared up. And another word came out, the devil. Jesus defeated the devil. Jesus defeated the devil. And they said, hallelujah! He is risen! We have won the victory through the Lord Jesus. The resurrection shows we have the right religion. Second, the resurrection shows that we also are going to be resurrected. You're not going to be reincarnated. I don't care what the psychics say. Man. You can dial 1-900, you sucker, till you're blue in the face, and talk to the psychics. And the psychics will take your money and tell you you're going to be reincarnated. I can say it right. I just like it better like that. And I'm going to tell you what, brother, the psychic network is for sickos. You know that? And you say, well, I'm going to call them and find out what's going to happen to me. I can tell you right now, you're going to lose all your money. Like that one fellow, one great big preacher, he was real big and fat. And they told him, they said, have you tried Herbalife? And he said, yes, I've tried Herbalife. They said, well, how much did you lose with it? And he said, about $900. That's about all you'll gain with them psychics, man. That's all you're going to get. You ain't going to get nowhere. Listen, you know how come you know that psychics are fakes? Because they never tell you nothing bad. You know they're fakes because they never tell you nothing bad. Don't bad things happen? Bad things happen more than good things happen. You know they always say, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. $10 more, please. You're 3 minutes right now. Oh yes, oh yes. You are going to live in a beautiful mansion. Soon you're going to find true love, the love of your life, and be happy forevermore. Well, you know, everybody goes, yeah, $10 more. Yeah, that sounds good. Tell it to me. I bet you'll never hear them say this. You will get AIDS next week and die in a car wreck with a broke neck. You know, they ain't going to tell you that. But that happens to people, don't it? But you know why they won't tell them that? Because you can't get rich off people like that. You don't listen. If a man's trying to get rich off somebody, all he does is tell them nice things and wonderful things and how good they are. That's why you don't have to worry about an old country hellfire and damnation preacher. They'll tell you how bad you are all the time. Amen? That's the way you know they're telling the truth. We know that we're going to be resurrected, not reincarnated. Let me show you some. Have you ever looked at all the resurrections in the Bible? There was one by Elijah, the widow's son, in 1 Kings chapter 17. My soul, the Lord popped that little kid up. Elisha done one, the Shunammite son, in 2 Kings 4. The resurrection by Elisha's bones in 2 Kings chapter 13. That would have been one I'd love to have seen. Elisha was so powerful and had such the power of God on him that he died one day. And they're going to bury him and took Elisha's bones up. And they said, oh, that grave's done got a couple in there. Ah, we don't want to dig nothing. Throw him in there with them other fellas. And they throw him in there. And as soon as Elisha's bones hit that dead man got up out of that grave. Now, that is a story. I would want to make a movie out of that, man. I mean, you talk about a horror movie. Here's a man's bones falling down. A dead man gets up and starts walking around town. That's all right, ain't it? Amen. That's the resurrection of the Bible. Jairus' daughter in Mark 5. The widow of Nain's son. They were going to the funeral. All lined up in a row. They were crying. She had a big widow's veil over her face. There's her little boy dead in the casket. All the camels had their headlights on. They was walking up through there like this, going real slow, going to bury that little boy. Jesus come up, touched that box the little boy laid in. The lid flew open. That kid raised up and said, Mom, I'm starving. Let's go get us something to eat. I tell you, they swallowed their cigars. Them old funeral directors. I mean, can't you see them coming back in? I'm back in the office that day, slamming her hand and said, Myrtle, that's three times this month. From now on, make sure they're dead. I'm having nightmares about this. But listen, Jesus raised that little kid from the dead. His resurrection shows that we're going to be resurrected. The Savior in the Word of God, His resurrection shows we're coming up. You're going to come back up. Do you know that? Do you know you're going to live again? Do you know you're going to live again? Do you know this life ain't all there is to it? Did you know that you're going to leave everything you've got behind and die, and then God's going to raise you one day and you're going to heaven or hell? Do you know that? His resurrection shows us that. You say, what about them people that got blew up in the war? He knows where they're at. He can reassemble their bodies from the bottom of the ocean, put it back together and raise them dead, comes up out of hell. He knows where your house is. He knows everything about you. You know, look, He made us. Don't you think He knows the hairs on our head? He knows where you work. He knows where your house is. He knows how to fit you. It's like you know your kids. Y'all, I went down there the other day. I was over here talking about it a minute ago. Over here, my wife's Easter outfit. I went and bought her Easter outfit. And she can tell you, I went and got it without her and didn't even ask her what size or nothing. Got raise your hand over there. Don't she look like a big Easter egg over there? I'm going to take her home after a while and hide her up in the leaves and let the kids hunt her. You see, she knows how to put up with me kidding like this. I thought about that. Somebody said, well, how did you know her size? No problem. I just walk in the store and ask for the biggest one they got. No, I'm just kidding. She knows I'm just kidding. I heard about this one preacher. This is no joke. I mean, this is a joke, but I heard him say it. He said, this one preacher got up and he said, when I first started preaching, he said, I asked the Lord to give me a big church and a beautiful wife. And he said, God answered my prayers, but He got it wrong. He said, I got a big wife and a beautiful church. That's awful. But, you know how I got that outfit for her? Because I know her. Truth is, there's this girl working in there. And I started looking at her and I said, what size you wear? And I tried it on this girl standing here and put my hands on her shoulders like that and see about how wide she was. and everything. And I said, that'll work right there. Listen, if I can do that, and I know about how tall my kids are, and I know about how they feel when I pick them up, and I know that, don't you think the Lord knows where your grandma's buried and where you live, and He knows how to call you up out of that grave, buddy. He knows exactly where you're at. He'll call you out of there one of these days. He ain't forgot nobody. He knows your size. He knows where you're at right now. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you did last night, you heathen. He does. God knows. And He's got it wrote down too, buddy. If you think you're getting away with it, you're just kidding yourself. He's going to haul you in there and judge you one of these days. Think you're drinking that liquor and shacking up with that woman and fooling around like that, and then you think God don't see it? You just wait till He hauls you in one day. You wait till He hauls you in one day. You honor God, puts a judge on you. When Jesus died on that cross, He wasn't doing that for a vacation. He was doing that to get you out of your sins. If you won't let Him, He'll judge you for it. Number three, and this will be last. His resurrection shows that Jesus suffered our hell for us. Thank God His resurrection shows He suffered our hell for us. My soul, my soul, my soul. There's some great words in the Bible. They end with I-O-N, T-I-O-N. One of them is words like substitution. One of them is like regeneration. One of them is like redemption. One of them is like propitiation. All of those are words that show that Christ died for us. It's like I was guilty. I had to stand before the judge, and the judge was going to throw me in prison, which is hell. And Jesus Christ comes up and said, nope, I know that boy I deserves to go to hell. Let him beat me. Put the nails in my hands, put them in my feet, and let me bleed and die so that Danny won't have to go to hell. That's what He did. He suffered my hell for me. You know why I love Him this morning? You know why I love Him? Because more than I love anything else? Because I love Him because nobody's ever done for me what He done and loves me in spite of what I am. Because see, I know I'm the only one in here besides a couple more that knows how low down and sorry I am. But He loves me anyway, and He blesses me anyway, and He's good to me anyway. And brother, He suffered my hell for me. The least I can do is give up my life for Him. The least I can do is give up what I want for Him and live for Him. The least I can do is say no to my flesh and live for Him. It's the least I can do. The least I can do. You know, I was had me a fire down at the house the other day. I always start me a fire this time of year. Burn a bunch of old junk and leaves and stuff been piled up behind the house. And that day it rained. I thought this would be a good day to burn this because, you know, it's wet around it and everything won't get out. And I was digging up some old stuff, and there's an old tarp there, and I mean, I had it all over me, man. I was throwing gas on it out of a gas can, and it wouldn't do good, you know, so I just kept throwing it like that. Man, I believe that stuff can smell gas. Like if you got the can, it wants to follow that can, man. And I was having fun with that. And that's the neatest thing. I love to throw gas on it, watch it go, poof, like that. I could do that all day. And I was throwing it on there, and it kept burning, and it burned down. And I got the rake, and I pulled up this old piece of tarp, and there was a little old snake underneath that tarp. And I thought, man, that might be a little old copperhead. And I grabbed the rake, and I grabbed him and threw him out here, and he started running through the grass, and I grabbed him again, and I couldn't kill him. And what I do usually is, you know, I kill a snake, then look, see what kind it is. Ain't that right? You say, well, you shouldn't kill them good snakes. I'm not really convinced they are such a thing yet. I mean, I know something, they ain't as bad as others, but I just don't like snakes. And I hit that snake and it wouldn't die, and I hit it, and I picked him up and threw him in that fire. And I just thought for a minute, this is the way God's going to do the devil one day. And I picked him up. And man, when he hit that fire, he just rolled up in a ball like that and just started going crazy. And I thought, well, that's the way the devil is. The devil's having a heyday right now. He's underneath this old tarp. And he's got the world just cool and slimy and wicked. And one of these days, buddy, there's going to be a big old rake reached down from heaven. God's going to jerk the cover off this mess and throw it in hell. Buddy, the devil's going to squirm and burn and scream. And did you know what? If you're not saved here this morning, you're going to burn too. You're going to burn. You're going to burn in hell. According to this Bible, you'll burn in hell. And that's why Jesus Christ died and rose again. He suffered your hell for you. It's worth it. It's worth every mile. It's worth every trial. It's worth everything you give up. It's worth everything you do. Because He suffered our hell for us. Teenagers, it's worth y'all living for Him. It's worth y'all listening to the right music and acting right and dressing right, being right. It's worth it because He suffered our hell for us. The good news of the resurrection is this morning, He got up for me. He got up for me. You're crazy if you're not saved this morning. You're just not in your right mind. I'd get saved this morning before I left this church. I would do whatever I needed to do to get my heart right with God. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Can I talk to you just a second? We're going to pray and sing the first song and we'll go. Is there one here this morning? Say, preacher, you know when you was talking about throwing that snake in that fire, I couldn't stand the thoughts of one day the Lord throwing me in the fire like that. The Bible said the angels will bind you hand and foot, cast you into outer darkness, and they'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's what the Bible says. The Bible said these shall go on the way into everlasting punishment. And you never get out, and you never have no relief. Is there one here this morning? Say, preacher, I am not saved. I am not saved, and I don't want to go to hell. I do not want to go to hell. And I want you, and I want this church to pray for me. Please pray for me. We're not going to come to you. We're not going to embarrass you. We just want to pray for you. Slip up your hand. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you over there, sir. Anybody else? We're not going to embarrass you, I promise. God bless you, sir. That's good. I see your hand up in the balcony. You can take them down. God wants to do a work. Don't nobody move. Don't nobody leave yet. Christians, pray. I see your hand, sir. You say, preacher, I'm not ready to meet God. I don't want to leave this place today. You think about it. Hell is an awful, awful, awful place. Don't blow it, friend. Don't blow it. Don't blow it. Why don't you come this morning? Let the Lord help you. If I was you this morning after we pray, as soon as we pray, we're going to sing this old song, I'd get out of my seat. I'd walk down here to this altar and I'd let one of these men take the Bible and show you exactly what you've got to do to be saved. Will you do it? Will you do it? Please. God, I pray in Jesus' name you take this simple gospel message on the resurrection. I pray you'd use it for your glory. I pray that you'd touch somebody's heart. May your will